Okay.
All right. I have some other speaker cards here. Anyone from Senator Blakeslee and Senator Strickland's office? Okay. Would you like to address us now?
Good morning, almost afternoon, members of the Water Board.
Okay.
Last time I spoke before you in Salinas, I was representing solely Senator Blakeslee. Today I have the pleasure of representing both Senator Blakeslee and Senator Strickland in a joint statement. I'll provide a copy of the statement to you, staff, after I read it to you. Regional Water Quality Control Board members, in November 2010, staff released a draft agricultural order, which was the subject of many public hearings. Today you are considering adoption of an updated agricultural order that is substantively similar to the proposal issued 16 months ago. Much has transpired in those 16 months. Dozens of community members provided written comments and testified at public workshops in San Luis Obispo, Watsonville, and Salinas. Working groups were convened to solicit input from subsets of the stakeholder community, including agriculture, elected officials, Republicans, and Democrats, from the state legislature and Congress. Repeatedly submitted letters expressing their concerns with the staff proposal and urging greater consideration of the input from the agricultural community. The agricultural community went so far as to submit a comprehensive alternative to the staff proposal. On paper, this appeared to be a process designed to incorporate input from stakeholders. Unfortunately, the proposal before you does not include much of the important feedback provided by the agricultural community and supported by the elected officials who represent them. The Water Board can check the box on their regulatory to-do list to claim that they have asked for stakeholder input. However, the purpose of attaining that input is to incorporate the best ideas into the proposal. Because the proposal has not significantly changed over the last 16 months, we are forced to draw one of two conclusions. Either the staff proposal was superior in every way to the agriculture ideas, and so very little was worth including or of the potential alternatives were presented, but the Regional Water Board staff had already predetermined what should be in the final product. No one is suggesting that improved water quality should not be vigorously pursued. What we continue to argue, as we have for years at this point, is that incorporating feedback from the agricultural community is critical to developing an effective program. This proposal fails to sufficiently do so. We strongly urge the Water Board to delay a vote on the updated agricultural order. Instead, engage the agricultural community to develop a proposal that satisfies your statutory obligations, advances water quality improvement, as well as enables Central Coast farms and ranches to continue providing food to our local communities and to families across the nation. And that's from Senator Blakeslee and Senator Strickland, who represent about 1.8 million people in your district.
Any comments or questions for Mr. Poshman?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Bill Ritz, are you? Okay. From Senator Cannella's office?
I have a question of staff, I guess.
Okay.
Thank you, Hans. Part of Hans's comment was that apparently in every way the ag alternative was not as good as the draft ag order because in the last 16 months there's
changed.
Been no significant changes. So my question is, I can't recall the timeline. When did the three tiers, when were they created in response to public input? Was that more than 16 months ago or less than 16 months ago?
I believe the tiering was a change, but a change that was adopted in November of 2010. However, since then, the tiering fundamentally changed because we went from operation to farm. In response to concerns that the tiering criteria, we actually got positive comments about the tiering criteria, but that they should be based upon the individual farm. That happened actually in May 2011.
Okay, so maybe later today we can hear if there's been other changes in response or not, but I know now is not the time.
Okay. All right. Mr. Ritz.
That would be a concern, right? If we had a volume of input that was not reflected in modifications.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know that the tiering took place after we had that meeting in the large hall in San Luis Obispo at the Elks Club, and that was an immediate outgrowth of that meeting.
Well, because the tiering was based on the size of the farms and 1,000 acres
farming, put them in a certain plateau compared to the others. And so if somebody did 999 acres, they're in one category, and the person that did 1,000 plus were in another category. So I think that's the reason staff, and I don't want to read into what the staff is proposing on the tiers, but that was a lot of the concern from the agriculture community is the size of the farms. And collectively, if they had a 500 acres in one location and 250 in another and 300 in another, was all considered 1,000 acre
right.
plus farm. And that was a concern for me as well.
Right. Okay. Mr. Ritz.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young and board members. I'm Bill Ritz, district representative for Senator Anthony Cannella. That's District 12. Represents about 900 plus 1,000 people. So just to kind of get those figures up there for you. I'd like to read a letter this morning, or this afternoon. It's kind of a recap. The senator held an ag hearing, an agricultural hearing. He's the chair of the Senate Ag Committee. He held this meeting in Salinas on February 24th, and I'd just like to read this letter to you from the senator. On February 24th, 2012, I convened a meeting of the Senate Agricultural Committee in Salinas to discuss the impacts of regulation on the agricultural industry. One of the hearing's panel discussions covered the impact that the draft staff conditional discharge waiver for irrigated lands, or the draft order, would have on agriculture. I wanted to express my gratitude to Mr. Michael Thomas, Assistant Executive Officer, Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, for attending the hearing and for providing very thoughtful testimony. He included an audio portion of this that should have been sent to Mr. Brazen. I think we talked about that, so I'll skip over that. The Senate hearing raised a number of remaining issues concerning the draft order, which I urged the board to address prior to finalizing the agricultural waiver. First, new members have recently been added to the board, establishing a quorum and enabling the board to now act on the ag waiver. After only a few months, these new members are expected to fully understand a very complex set of issues that have evolved over several years. Many of the Senate committee hearing participants expressed concern that these board members will not have had sufficient opportunity to appreciate the complexities associated with this compliance and concern. It is my understanding that the existing waiver has been extended to September. I would ask that any board decision be postponed from this hearing in March to allow new members more time to study and appreciate the complex issues underpinning the development of an achievable regulatory policy. A farm tour should be arranged for new members so that they can hear of and witness some of the practical issues associated with several of the draft recommendations firsthand. In his testimony, Mr. Thomas indicated that a tour of this nature for new members could be possible or would be possible. Secondly, I am concerned that many of the draft regulations have been developed without proper awareness of other agricultural initiatives and regulations, and therefore may be in conflict with other practices. One example that emerged at the Senate hearing concerned the draft order's mandates for the creation of riparian buffers. Several participants pointed out that these buffers, yep, I'm from Boston, by the way, so you can pardon cutting off the eyes there a little bit, would be in conflict with food safety practices outlined in the Leafy Greens marketing agreement, which are meant to prevent contamination of foods by pests and animals. This is just one example of possible conflicts with other initiatives or regulations which may be created by the new ag order. These conflicts should be surfaced, analyzed, and eliminated before adoption of the final regulations. Thirdly, there seems to be a significant difference of opinion as how too many farms would fall into each of the three proposed tiers of the new ag order. In his response letter to me dated April 4th, 2011, Executive Director Roger Briggs indicated that board staff estimates that 42% of growers would fall into Tier 1, 46 into Tier 2, and 12% of all growers would fall into the more onerous Tier 3. In their testimony, the Monterey County Farm Bureau and the Grower Shipper Association of Central California estimated the number of growers and farms, which we classified as Tier 3, to be much higher. Neither Mr. Thomas nor the agricultural industry representatives could answer the question of how many acres would fall into each category. I would hope that board staff could provide both reconciliation between staff's calculations and that of the agricultural industry for number of farms slash growers and compute an estimate of total acreage which would be classified as Tier 3. Farmers for Water Quality has estimated the cost of Tier 3 compliance at approximately $600 per acre per year, making that land infeasible for farming based on row crops economics. I think it is imperative that we reconcile the percentage of our agricultural land that may be forced out of production under the provisions of the Tier 3 regulatory requirements contained in the draft order. Fourthly, agriculture expressed grave concern about the ability to implement the proposed program according to the timelines that have been outlined in the draft ag order. I am told that although there are approximately 40 certified crop advisors, or CCAs, in the Central Coast, there are only 5 or 6 CCAs on the Central Coast region who today have the training and qualifications to help agriculture comply with the new technical on-farm data collection and regulations. With further training, although this may sound like a significant number of CCAs, this is still a shortage of CCAs as compared to the large number of growers on the Central Coast. Statements from grower representatives that we are beginning to set up for failure from the beginning were met by assurances from Mr. Thomas that the board's goal was not to be punitive, but rather was to work with growers toward achieving compliance. In that same regard, several participants at the committee hearing discussed the difference in approach in developing this new ag order, from which occurred in 2004 when the agricultural community worked collaboratively with the board to develop the current agricultural waiver. While I appreciate the expression of goodwill conveyed by Mr. Thomas, I think it prudent that regulator and regulated agree at the outset on achievable pathway to compliance for any new regulatory change. The limited number of CCAs available to assist growers with compliance is merely one example of a myriad of concerns that exist and which should be fully understood by the board. Finally, at the Senate hearing, the Dr. Mark Los Huertos report, a proposed model to implement the conditional discharge waiver for irrigated farms, was referenced by the agricultural panelists as presenting ideas that warrant substantial study and consideration by the board as an alternative to the draft order. While this report was discussed in the last board workshop in early February, it is my understanding that the document has not yet been allowed into the public record and therefore has not been viewed by the board members. Again, this issue is critical to the health of the environment and the public, as well as the health of the economy for the entire region. It would be far better to be open to all information than to rush a decision. I encourage the board to fully consider the ideas contained in the Los Huertos report into the record prior to making any decisions. I understand that all sides of this issue believe that clean water is very important to maintaining a healthy environment. Indeed, agriculture has worked closely with the board to improve water quality in the region since adoption of the 2004 waiver. If there was a shortcoming in the 2004 program, it was that the program may not have been adequately enforced against growers that were not enrolled. That should be addressed so that the good actors are not punished for the failure of growers who do not enroll. However, realistic goals and collaboration between the board and the agricultural community is essential to developing a feasible and implementable solution which achieves co-equal objectives of preserving our agricultural economy in Monterey County while protecting our precious water supplies from pollution. Thank you for your continued work on this issue and for your consideration of the concern expressed at the February 24th, 2012 Senate Committee on Agriculture hearing, as summarized herein and is contained in the transcript that we had sent. Sincerely, Anthony Canella, Senator, District 12. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Ritz. Perhaps staff could comment as part of your presentation to some of the points raised by Mr. Ritz. Okay. At least that concludes elected officials' comments. And it's 12:15, so we are going to take a break for lunch. We're going to try to limit it to 1 hour as best we can. I urge everybody that wishes to address the board to submit a speaker card before you leave, because once I come back from lunch, I'll look at all the cards, count them up, and we're going to allocate time accordingly. So please get a speaker card and submit it. Thank you. So let's convene back here at 1:20.